chapter 3. John chapter 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture. But I'm constantly amazed when I read this passage and how clear it is, and I talk to people and how messed up they are about this simple passage. So many people have messed this up. So many religions or denominations or churches or pastors or theologians can't get the simple message from John chapter 3 straight. And how important is it? Well, it's as important as heaven and hell, because a lot of people are going to miss heaven and end up in the lake of fire because somebody taught them wrong about this very passage. And it makes me mad. It makes me angry. I sit there and try to explain it to them. It's simple in English. All you have to do is understand the concept that Jesus is talking about without, and I underline this, without any preconceived ideas. You see, one of the things that's amazing about this passage is Jesus has a religious man come to him. Now, you would have thought that if anybody understood the Scriptures, it would have been Nicodemus. But Nicodemus had some questions. Jesus didn't even let him ask the questions because Jesus already knew what he needed. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We want to just focus a little bit on this meeting between Nicodemus and Jesus, starting with verse 1 in John chapter 3, and we're going to read probably 7 verses there. It says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you. Lord, there are few passages in the Bible that are as clear as this is, that we can't do anything to go to heaven. But Lord, we know that you've got a message for your people today, and Lord, you know that this preacher can sure mess it up. So Lord, I'm asking you to override what the preacher has on his thoughts and mind. Lord, we just pray for you to let your spirit and your message ring clear and override anything that I have in me that might hinder your message. Use this time for your glory and draw us closer to Jesus. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this passage here, and Nicodemus is coming to Jesus, and he's coming to Jesus at night for a reason. He's coming to Jesus for one reason. He's got some questions that he wants to ask Jesus, but he didn't want any of the other Pharisees to know that he was coming. And I'll be honest with you, I think that there are way too many of us that believe on who Jesus is and may even be saved, but we're too intimidated by the crowd to set ourselves out and let people know that we're a Christian, that we love Jesus. Nicodemus was that way. What's he say? There in verse 2, he says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." So he already knows that Jesus is honest, he's straightforward, he's wise, and he's come from God. He's sent by God. And what's the evidence for it? The next statement. He says, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You know what our world needs to see today? They need to see people that God is using. They need to see Christians like you and me that God can answer our prayers. God does something special for us. And that's why we see the world going, our country going the way it is, because God's not moving in our lives because we're not letting him. We're consumed with the TV and the internet and the work and family hobbies or whatever it is, instead of our time with God and letting him use us. And I'll be honest with you, God wants to work in our lives and do miracles in our families and our circumstances as much as he ever did for anybody. And we believe he can do it, right? So what's the problem? I heard a preacher say one time, a long time ago, he said either the gospel's lost its power or we're not giving it out. He said, that's the problem. It's either or. Well, I will tell you, it's not the problem. The gospel hadn't lost its power. You know, it is the power of God unto salvation. So what we know is that Nicodemus saw some things in Jesus, and Jesus says in John chapter 14, he says, "He that believeth, the same shall do greater works." What? Let's turn there. Hold your place here, just a few pages over. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." It's hard for us to believe that we can do greater works than Jesus could. But it's not that we do the works, it's the fact that Jesus does the work in us. I believe a lot of it has to do with there's a lot more of us, and you and I and represent the people that are here in Florida that God can use, but there are people around the world that God can use, and Jesus is in heaven on the right hand of the Father wanting to work in our lives, and he can do greater works that way through us because there are more of us in different places. He was limited at that point in time. He was in one body, and he had to be. But today, he's all around the world represented by you and I and people like us that are born again, that are his children. But I don't want to focus so much on this. I believe that that's where the problem is in America, but I believe that there's a bigger problem. You say a bigger problem? Yeah. I will go ahead and say it. I believe there are so many, I would venture to say over 90% of the people who say they're Christians have never been really saved, really been born again. Because they've either listened to the wrong people about how to be born again. Because let me tell you something. If you believe that baptism helps you get saved, you're not saved.
That's right.
Because you have not put all of your trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Because my Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. I talk to people that I work with all the time, and they have this preconceived idea that trusting in Jesus just isn't enough. They've got to get baptized. And not only that, do they have to get baptized, but then they have to stay away from sin because they can lose their salvation. And I will tell you something. If you could lose it, you would. And I would. But praise God, Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He knew he was saved and saved eternally. The key is, what happens to people like Nicodemus in our world today if they don't have somebody like you and I to answer the questions? And if we don't get this straight, how can we expect the lost world to understand? Nicodemus was a religious leader, and he missed it completely. He didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And there's a lot of Nicodemuses in our world today that don't have a clue. Some of them, even religious leaders, preachers, theologians, heads of denominations and synods and all those kind of things, they don't have a clue. And I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing more important. If you don't get this right, you may well not make it to heaven. See what Jesus says in verse 3? Jesus didn't wait for Nicodemus to ask a question. He didn't even respond to what Nicodemus said. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I'll be honest with you, I use this passage quite often with Jehovah's Witnesses. I ask them right up front. I said, why is it that you ask that you have your kingdom hall buildings, your meetings are called kingdom hall? Oh, it's because we represent the kingdom of God on earth. I said, so you've been born again? Well, no, that was just for the 144,000. So Jesus says right here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I said, the name of your buildings is called kingdom halls, and you're not even going to see God's kingdom because you hadn't been born again. That's what Jesus says, right? Unless you're born again, unless you're saved, unless you're born of the Spirit, you'll never see God's kingdom, let alone be a part of it. Nicodemus is kind of set back by that. He didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And look at what he says, his response in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See what Nicodemus is saying? A lot of people see that. They've got a misconception about being born again. He was thinking that you had to be born physically again. You can't be born physically the second time. It's another birth. But I will tell you, don't miss this. This is simple. You can't be born again until you're born. Right?
Right.
Makes sense, right?
Right.
You've got to be born again, but you can't go to heaven unless you're born and born again. So it's a simple process of elimination. But look at what Jesus says in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now there's where the problem lies. It says born of water. And everybody that I know that misses this entire verse says born of water has to do with baptism. But I'm going to tell you something. It has nothing to do with baptism. You can't even find baptism in that conversation. The problem is they're inserting their own philosophy or what they've been taught into that passage. Born of water, without being too graphic, I'm going to explain it. It's simple. When a baby is born, the mother has the baby in the womb, and the baby is engulfed and protected with the water. And the first thing that happens when a baby's born is the water breaks. I knew that I was going to be a daddy that particular day because my wife woke me up, said, "You're not going to work this morning. My water broke." Hey, I was excited. I mean, I was excited just not to go to work, but I was getting ready to be a daddy. So that made me doubly excited. And I'll tell you something. That's what Jesus is talking about by being born of water. It's referred to first. It's the first birth. But so many people think that's baptism. Oh, that's got to be baptism. Why does it have to be baptism? It says being born of water. And so the key is, a lot of people miss this verse, and I know I had trouble with some at the college when I was teaching at the college, that good Christians, good strong Christians, still could not get this straight. And I'm sitting there, when I talk to people at the door, when I knock on the doors, I ask them, I said, "I want to make sure that you're going to go to heaven. Have you been born again?" "Oh yeah, I've been baptized." I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I said, "Oh no, back that up." I said, "I'm not asking about baptism." Because most of the time they're talking about being sprinkled anyway. That's not baptism. Okay? And if it happens before you get saved, it's still not baptism. Right. Even if you're dunked. So the key is, so many people mess that up. But the first birth is born of water. Jesus emphasizes the same thing in verse 6. I want you to look at that. And I want you... this is something we've got to get straight in our minds, because we're going to have to explain it to people. Somewhere down the line, you're going to have people come up to you and ask you about that or have a problem with that. Look at verse 6. It says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Okay? Verse 5, Jesus refers to it as born of water and born of the Spirit. That's the born of water, the first birth. Born of the Spirit is the second birth. Verse 6, he changes it. Why does he change it? Because he knows that people in our day and time are going to have trouble with this. And it's not just our day and time. This has been going on since the time of Christ. He uses born of flesh to refer to the first birth and born of the Spirit as the second birth. Now I'm saying all that to say this. How important is it for somebody to get this right? Because I know people that consider themselves Christians because they were baptized, they were sprinkled as a baby. And they consider being sprinkled or baptized as being born of the water or born again. And all of this is one step right after another that causes people to be deceived, to think they're going to heaven. And they're all so wrong. They're so wrong. Hold your place there and go to Acts chapter 8. This is one of the most vile tricks of the devil. Because these are people that want to go to heaven. These are people that believe in Jesus. They believe, but they've never trusted in Jesus. They might understand the Bible. They might agree with the Bible. But the Bible says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You don't get saved just because of your head knowledge. You get saved because of your heart knowledge. And I'll get into that. But look at what it says in verse chapter 8, verse Look at verse 35. Now this is where Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's witnessing. The Holy Spirit led him to witness to the eunuch as he's heading out of Jerusalem. And Philip says, and then says, and then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The world doesn't need to know about our philosophies or good works or any of that kind of stuff. They need Jesus. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born again, because he couldn't understand anything Jesus was explaining until he got saved, until he had the Holy Spirit's help. Look at verse 36, and it says, and they went on their way, and they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now here's another place where a lot of people mess up, because a lot of the Bibles, the modern Bibles, verse 37 is gone. He asked about being baptized, and they skip verse 37, where it talks about why you should get baptized. And it says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you take that verse out, you take out the fact that he got saved before he got baptized. And then it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If you take verse 37 out, you've messed up the whole passage. You've messed up the fact, and I'll be honest with you, that's why a lot of Bibles do that, in the fact that they go back to baptism being a part of salvation, and you're saved when you get baptized. And there'll be churches that will actually cause you and let you come be baptized without even making a statement of faith and putting trust in Jesus. How awful is that? Nicodemus came to Jesus with some questions. Jesus answered those questions. And he made the statement, except a man be born again, not baptized. Don't you think that Jesus knew what baptism was? He could have said baptism if he wanted to, right? He didn't. Why not? Because he wasn't talking about baptism. So how do you get saved, preacher? There's only one way. You believe in your heart. You trust Jesus. You understand that he's the Savior. In Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see those things? It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it's talking about the fact that you got to know, you got to believe who Jesus is. The Ethiopian eunuch here believed that Jesus was the Son of God. You better believe that Jesus is the Son of God, not a created angel, created by God, and then he creates everything else. That's not the Jesus that we serve. That's not the Jesus that died on the cross. He's as much of God as God is. As much as God of God as the Holy Spirit is. I don't understand it, but I'm glad I serve a God that's so great and so mighty and so mysterious, because he has so much, there's so much about him that my little finite mind can't understand it anyway. I've got a big God. But so many people mess this up. I hope there's nobody here today that has misconstrued this passage into thinking you have to do something to get saved along with trusting Jesus. There are people that say you have to speak in tongues, or you have to do good works, or you have to join the church, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. Hey, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What do you think he meant by that? It's finished. It's pretty easy, right? He's done all the work. You can't work. You can't earn it. If we could earn it, Jesus would have stayed in heaven. and he would have said, you be good and I'll see you when you get here. Or be baptized and I'll see you when you get here. All this kind of stuff is just, this is the devil's deception. And it makes me angry. It breaks my heart. Because so many people would get saved if they just knew the truth. If they weren't putting their faith in somebody's interpretation in the Bible and just put their faith in the Bible. God has a way of saying what he wants to say. You and I don't have to help him. Just tell people what he says. You see, when you're born again, there's a number of things that happen. Number one, and this is why Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Because Nicodemus, as much as he was trying to follow God, as much as he was trying to do right, as much as he studied the scriptures, he still was not saved. You say, well, that was before Jesus died on the cross and he couldn't have got saved anyway. If that's true, then Moses couldn't have got saved. But if you read Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see that Moses got saved by faith. And Noah got saved by faith. And Sarah got saved by faith. And all of those people in Hebrews chapter 11 got saved. These were Old Testament saints that got saved by faith. So how did Nicodemus get saved? By faith. How are you and I going to get saved? By faith. Not by faith plus baptism. Not by faith plus good works. Not by faith plus this or that or anything else. We've got to get saved by faith. My Bible says, By faith are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If baptism was a requirement for salvation, then all of a sudden, salvation's not a gift of God. Because I have to do something to help earn it. And I'll be honest with you, I believe that that has a lot to do with why people want to add something to salvation. Because they want to feel like they don't want to be totally reliant on God. They want to feel like I helped him. Look at what I did. And I'm going to tell you that's absolutely wrong. And the same thing about losing your salvation. If you could lose your salvation, you'd have to do something to get it. But if God saves you by faith, then guess what? You can't lose it. And I use the illustration a lot. I think this is goes together with this in the fact that if you have a litter of puppies, you better keep the puppies pinned up or in a box or something. Why? Because they're going to wander away. Sheep are that way too, by the way. When we become one of Jesus' sheep, Jesus promises, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he says, I shall give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So do I have to wonder and say, well, can they ever perish? They will never perish. Why? If they did, Jesus had lied. If Jesus lied, then don't have a Savior, and we don't have any hope of going to heaven. You see how important just one statement is. The key is when you get saved, you come into Jesus' fold. You become one of his sheep. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe there are a lot of people that think they're saved. Like I said before, there are a lot of people that think they're saved, but they're really not saved. If they're relying on baptism or anything else to get them saved, or if they prayed the right prayer, but it came from the head. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You don't get Jesus' righteousness until it comes from your heart. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and when you become one of his sheep, when you really get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside, he promises by the name of being the good shepherd that he's not going to lose any of his sheep. If he loses any of his sheep, he can't possibly be the good shepherd. Probably not a more important subject for us to speak on than this, because this is going to make the difference as to whether we go to heaven or end up in the lake of fire. Not only us, but those that we love, those that we care about. Nicodemus was a religious leader, but he didn't understand. There are still so many Nicodemuses around that don't have a clue about what Jesus really means about being born again. But my focus right now is on those that are listening to me right now. You see, I want to see everybody here in heaven. We advertise Bible Baptist Church as being a soul-winning church. I'm not going to say that this preacher focuses on dots every I and crosses every T, but I try to. But the one area I don't want to mess up on is salvation. Because that means if I mess up on that, that means that I'm not telling people the truth about how to get to heaven. That means I'm going to have their blood on my hands if I'm telling them wrong. That means that maybe my grandson really didn't get saved this past summer when he was soul winning with me. That means that maybe my children really aren't saved if I've lied to them or deceived them or been just simply mistaken. I don't believe a lot of these people that are teaching about being born again and baptism being the same thing, I don't believe that they're evil people. I believe a lot of them are just deceived and mistaken. But how awful it would be to be mistaken about the most important thing on earth. You and I have to make sure we get this right. Because if we don't, we can't share it with other people right. Those that we love, they might get it wrong if we get it wrong. But you know what? There was a day in late 1982 that the Holy Spirit jumped on me. I had prayed a prayer when I was an 8-year-old boy. I got baptized. For 20 years, I thought I was saved. At 18, I had a head-on collision with a semi. Walked away from it. That's how close I was to going to hell. It wasn't until for another 10 years that I really got saved, that the Holy Spirit got hold of me and just worked me over and beat me up and got me saved, and I wept beside my bedside. See, the first time I prayed with my head. I prayed the right words. But it's not words that's going to get you saved. It's the heart believing. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then it comes out of the mouth. Confession is made into salvation. And I got saved. And God's still working on this old boy. That's been some 30 years ago or so. There's not a more important message that you and I need to get. Make sure we get straight. Because others around us, they need to know the same thing that you heard this morning. that you understand out of the Bible. Except a man be born again. Born of the water, which is the first birth. Born of the Spirit, which is the second birth. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for loving us. We pray for the name of Jesus to be glorified in the invitation. Lord, move in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.